you know, we all need fellowship, but we're made to be in community with one another, and so I'm glad you're back, Angel. We love and care for you and your boy. And she's got a daughter named Dawn, and so usually she's with us, but we got Delson today. I'll let Big Richard. I don't know if you guys know the free offs, but they've been coming pretty well. They're members here now, but they've been coming to class really regular. And so, the first one is Angie. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, she gets a special one?
Well, I fill in the blanks for her.
See how it is.
It's a little something, something.
We're trying to perfect
I will show you just a picture of my dad. Many of you know my dad lives 3 hours north of here. And so I'm one of three boys. And so my brothers and I put together this birthday party for him. And what's that? Yeah, and his birthday was actually the 23rd. It was Thursday, I think. And I called him at 8 o'clock in the morning on my way to work, and he was out running a weed eater, so he didn't answer. So he called me back later. So he's still able to. He's like, yeah, I got to go out and mow somebody's banks, and then we got to do this. So there's my dad and I. So we had some cake and punch and nuts and, you know, just kind of snack thing. He had about 80 friends and neighbors and four or five customers. There were two or three Amish people are customers of his. He had a corn hauling business, 18-wheeler, the hopper bottom semi-trucks. And so some of his corn dealer customers were there. They came down from Iowa. Unionville is about 10 miles south of the Iowa line. And so my mother was a school teacher in Seymour, Iowa for a few years. And then Angie and I lived on the farm for 3 years before we moved to the city. And our son was born in Centerville, Iowa. Most of you know Luke, our son. And so he was 1 year old when we moved down here, and now he's 41. So we've been down here 41 years. And so anyway, I don't want to bore you too much with pictures, but this is one just kind of Angie and I and the decorations. Hopefully it'll... I didn't load these up before, but Jim said he wanted to see pictures of...
Oh, yeah,
brothers, they were
coming up.
Yeah, both of my brothers. So you can see we had this in the Lucerne Christian Church, and Lucerne, Missouri has a population of 60 people.
Wow.
This is the church that my dad and mom were married in 65, 70 years ago.
Wow.
And the church is 125 years old. Is that what Mildred told us?
I think that's right.
So they let us use this little fellowship hall that they have. And so, yeah, my dad's 90th birthday is in the church where he was married. And that church has around 130 people every Sunday morning in a town of population 60.
Wow.
So they, you know, we wouldn't agree with all their doctrine, but they do talk about having a relationship with the Lord. And my dad loves it there. And so we're encouraged. My dad didn't go to church when we were growing up. So I'm just thankful he is going. And the minister there, runs one of the elevators. And so he's kind of a bivocational minister. And so anyway, now here's a quiz. Does anybody know what this building is? This is in Rome, Italy. This is probably good for everybody to know what it is, partly because they think that King Agrippa built this building.
Oh,
it dates back to 27 AD.
It says Agrippa on the top.
Yeah, she thinks some of this writing. Yeah, you can see the word Agrippa there, can't you? See it?
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
So they think the King Agrippa that, you know, was put Paul on trial built this. When I tell you the name of this building, you're going to think of something else. This is the Pantheon. But the other one is called the Parthenon. And the Parthenon is in Greece.
We can't be confused.
So that's the famous building originally we thought we were going to see, but this is the Pantheon. And most of you know Michelangelo, who painted in the Sistine Chapel. But equally as famous is a guy named Raphael. So some of you are shaking your head. You've heard of Raphael. Well, Raphael did more of the painting in the Catholic Museum than Michelangelo did. So they were contemporary with each other, and Raphael was buried in this building. And part of the reason we're talking about Revelation 17, and the mystery Babylon we've talked about is kind of the religious side of this Babylon, which it's called the mother of harlots, and really all spiritual adultery and fornication and pagan beliefs can be traced back to having their origins in Babylon. And we know that one of the things we've talked about is how that Roman Catholicism has taken some of those things that were pagan and made them Christian, so to speak, like Easter. And so this woman has a golden cup. And the reason I showed you this picture is because when we were in there, this is as close as we came to what I would say is just, I don't know if these are Jesuits, but you can just tell they're hardline guys. So this is in that Pantheon. And there's four of these guys, and it's a little hard to tell, but as I remember it, they were dressed in purple robes. And so this guy with the glasses was kind of their leader, and there's four of them. They kind of came in there to kind of guard. There's little things. It's a round building, and they were kind of guarding things. But you could just tell there's a serious, you know, mess with me and I'll shoot you type of look to them, you know. And so here's kind of what they were guarding. And Jim, I don't know if this red thing on it, this may be, he may be part of the Swiss guards or, but anyway, one of them had a fake hand, so his arm, he'd lost an arm somewhere, but, so they were kind of older guys and they were small men, but they were dead on, and they were guarding something, and they were dressed in purple. So this lady that's dressed in scarlet and purple, this made me think of that. So that's why I showed this these pictures here right off first thing. So let's look now at our Bibles and our handouts. We've got Jim didn't have any cryptocurrency updates. What's the name of that act that they're trying to pass?
Clarify.
Clarity Act. But I wanted us to think for a minute as we get. If you want to go ahead and turn to Revelation 17, we'll look at that in a minute. But I know, like, Christina hasn't been here, and Angel, I don't know if you've heard much of our Revelation study, but I thought I would kind of step back and just sit here and talk to you for a minute. Because, I mean, this is the first time I've taught Revelation, but I've been saved for over 34 years now, and I have taught several books of the Bible, and I have read through the Bible a few times. And some of you have heard of, help me with the old time preacher, J. Vernon McGee. You know, J. Vernon McGee, he says that Revelation is like, I think his illustration was Union Station in New York City. But, you know, we can think of Kansas City Union Station. Many of us have been there, but it's kind of the hub. It's where all the trains were dispatched out of or coming into. And so he looks at Revelation like the Union Station of the Bible, where a lot of the books of the Bible have their climax or their ending or their mention in the book of Revelation. And so there's a lot of prophecies from the Old Testament that we've talked about. You know, John was on the Isle of Patmos. He's given this vision, and he's told to write down the things that have been, the things that are, and the things that are to come. And so we believe this middle section of the book of Revelation, from chapter 4 to chapter 19, are really the things that are. So Revelation 1, 2, and 3 were kind of talking about the church age. And, you know, you and I are sitting here in 2026. We believe we're right at the end of the church age, and how those seven churches that were talked about do represent the last 2,000 years. We're almost 2,000 years since Jesus Christ was crucified. Many think he was. Many don't, you know, believe our calendar is exactly accurate. They think he was maybe born 2 years BC, our current calendar. So he may have died around the year 30 or 32, somewhere in there. And so we're almost exactly 2,000 years since Jesus walked the earth. And we actually just seen a building that was built about 2,000 years ago. But I think I did. Let me make sure. Thank you, honey. Yeah, we're recording. And So the things we're talking about are in the middle of the tribulation period. And so we've tried to connect, and I've tried to make a list. You know, we're up to, you know, this is week 47 of our teaching. So we're almost a whole year into it. And so I just kind of wrote down some things. I've tried, and I did this only about halfway through, but you know, it was July 1st of 25 that the Jews burned a red heifer. So we're almost a year since they say that was a practice run, and maybe it was, but they need those ashes from the red heifer to mix with water to anoint their priest. So there's been a lot of talk about building the third temple. You know, Israel is in the news. Ever since I've been saved for 34 years, it's been in the top three or four headlines for 30 some years. So, but it does seem like it's more often. It was October 7th, about 3 years ago, that the Gaza Strip attacked the Jewish music festival. There was a peace deal with Gaza in October of 25. And I heard one time that was a 7-year thing. So, but I don't think that was the 7-year peace treaty. There was a board of peace founded, and there's 10 nations were involved with that. They met with the Saudi prince in early November of 25. Venezuela was invaded on Thanksgiving Day, is what I have. I don't know if that's exactly right, but recently. There's a Genesis mission. It's an AI initiative, and that was December of last year. There's a I don't know if it's an asteroid called Atlas is heading toward the Earth. I'm just kind of writing down things as we go. There's a Genesis Act, which has cryptocurrency as its capital. That was in November of 25. The Ring of Fire was active in December of 25, so there was earthquakes and five volcanoes in 72 hours. I think there was an earthquake this week even, wasn't there? Off Japan? And where?
Missouri.
Even Missouri had? I didn't hear about that. Bill Gates predicts electronic tattoos will replace smartphones. I don't know if that's accurate or not. There's an executive order on AI. The Euphrates River is drying up. Trump captured the president of Maduro of Venezuela on January this year. The Board of Peace was established in January of this year. The Greenland framework was January 21st. Persia is in the news, you know, right now, every day. And you notice all the talk about ships? You know, that's in the book of Revelation. A lot about ships. And some ships are coming to America, and they've got the Strait of Hormuz. And earthquakes, and there's even a lot of fires right now. So anyway, partly I guess we hear things more quickly now than maybe we did 100 years ago. But even in my lifetime, it seems to be exponential, doesn't it? That things are happening, and Jim's talking about the Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. And so all of our lives are kind of changing. And so anyway, hopefully this is creating a little bit of urgency with all of us that we want our loved ones to be saved. We want the gospel to go forth. And I think it's 1 John 3 where, you know, as we see the day approaching, that we ought to be purifying ourselves. So hopefully we glean some practical things out of this and not just, you know, come here to be wowed or see something cool. So I gave you at the top of, I think we probably won't get through all the way through 17 again this week. I think 18 will go a little quicker. I really don't study ahead much. I'm just really kind of grinding out each week. So hopefully this is relevant. Hopefully it flows a little bit. And but anyway,
I believe it's God's people, though, that we will be protected.
Yeah.
But Jim said it's not going to happen in our lifetime.
Well, we're going to go out at the rapture, so we won't see these things. But, you know, with every dispensation, that's a good point, Tracy. You know, when Hebrews 9:16 talks about a testament is not in force until the death of the testator. So when Jesus died, that was kind of the old, you know, he says it is finished. Well, what is finished? Well, the law is fulfilled. He fulfilled the law. And so from Christ's death till now is what we call the age of grace or a dispensation of grace. And we're saved by grace through faith now. But even when Jesus died, there was, you know, the temple was still there for 40 more years till Titus destroyed it in 70 AD. And so Judaism was still going on. And so there's a transition. And so even before Christ died, you know, he talked about the spirit of the law. He says, the law says this, but I'm telling you this. You know, you shouldn't do this. The law says this. But so he gave the spirit of the law. And he kind of, so in a way, you know, the age of grace kind of overlapped this age of the law, I guess is what I'm trying to say there. And so even though we're not in the tribulation and we won't see the Antichrist and some of these things that we're talking about, we're seeing it build up to that, I guess, is kind of what I'm trying to say there. So thank you, Tracy. But so I gave you a review of these first six verses about this harlot. She is going to be judged. That's what the angel tells John. She's sitting on many waters, which we said are peoples. And we've talked about the Roman Catholic. You know, we went to four different countries in Europe, and Catholicism is so prevalent there. I mean, if you go to India, when I went to India, the thing that stood out about me, they might have a roundabout, and in the middle of the roundabout, they've got a golden tiger. And the motel we stayed at had an elephant head. You know, they have all these statues. The taxi driver has all these little bobbleheads on their dashboard. These are all gods. They're a polytheistic. They believe in many gods. But when you go to Europe, every city has a big church with a big steeple, and it's old and it's cold and it's, you know, Catholicism is so prevalent in Europe, you can't miss it if you tried. So we've tied in many, you know, it's not as prevalent here, but pretty much every town in Missouri has a Catholic church too. So anyway, this letter C there, she's committed fornication with kings of the earth. Letter D, she's gotten the inhabitants of the earth drunk with her wine. Letter E, she's located in the wilderness. She sits on a scarlet-colored beast. One lesson I started listening to, the title of the message was The Scarlet Harlot. I thought that was I'm going to use that probably next time I teach this, The Scarlet Harlot. She's arrayed in purple and scarlet. She's got a golden cup in her hand. She has a name that's connected with idolatry and abominations. We talked about abominations last week. And she's a bloody and cruel harlot. I didn't read, hopefully you guys read my handout, but next week if you're here, how many of you have ever seen or read the little booklet called The Trail of Blood? At least one. I know Jim has. If you're here next week, I bought 25 of these with our class money. So I was hoping to get some three-ring binders, but you won't be getting three-ring binders. You're getting a booklet next week called The Trail of Blood. And it lists a lot of the persecutions that the Catholic Church did on other Christians. So this lady is drunk with blood. And I've even heard stories of of people doing some of the they kind of get worked up into a frenzy. They get kind of bloodthirsty. That the killing is kind of addictive or whatever. And so this whorish woman is a bloody woman, and she if you look at Revelation 17. And somebody read verse 6 for us.
And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration.
Yeah, and the last part there, I wondered with great admiration. This lady was drunken with blood. I mean, that, you know, the Bible actually forbids cannibalism. But I think the thing that John wondered at is, like, this lady is professing to be Christian and she's killing Christians. That's the kind of the wonder of, like, wow, this Christian organization is killing Christians and labeling them as heretics because they don't believe quite the same thing, right?
But it has to do with people, like it does in any other religious organization. And like with King Henry VIII, because of all his wives and stuff, and his daughters killed the Protestants and killed too.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had about all the Catholics murdered.
Hey, Caleb. Hey, Pat. Yeah. I heard this week, I'm probably not going to say this quite right, but I think that the Pope put in some kind of Muslim prayer room in the Vatican. Are you the one that told me that?
Yeah.
So, you know, think forward just a little bit. You know, hopefully everyone in this room and listening to this right now are saved, and we won't be here. But after we're raptured out, if people are not born again, Can you see how some of these, maybe Muslims and Catholics, I mean, they both got prayer beads. There's a lot of similarities there. So you can see how some of this comes together. And in the tribulation, it'll have a little more free course after.
I know what you're saying. It's different when you actually believe in your heart and you want to relate to
them. Yes.
Than doing it because you're supposed to.
Yeah. So this is religion. We teach relationship. We want a relationship with Christ and not just a religion. And so your first blank there, the Spirit of Truth is showing us things to come. So I put the word truth in your blank. And I'm going to put these up high. I'm going to try to draw something here. And if you have... I mean, I think all of us are getting a little bit of a glimpse of things to come, and I believe it's by the Holy Spirit. This verse here I read, put on your handout, "Howbeit He, the Spirit of Truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." And so, as John is talking about some of these things to come, hopefully the Holy Spirit is kind of our inner witness that is kind of tapping and saying, you know, this is resonating with truth. It sounds of truth what we're hearing and seeing here. Now, verses 7 and 8, can somebody else read? Yeah, what were you going to say? Yeah.
I've always wondered, the way it says that, whatsoever He hears. So, what do you think that's saying?
Are you thinking just what the Bible says is what?
Yeah.
Because I know...
Like inside, hears inside us and says, hey, like, what's happening? Can you hear this?
Yeah. I know there's another verse that says, whatsoever things He has taught you, He'll bring to remembrance. So the things that we're learning, those are the things He brings to remembrance. What were you going to say, TJ?
I was saying for 10 years without reading the Bible, and I was spiritually dead still. So I think that until you feed the Holy Spirit, it won't.
Okay.
Ignite.
I don't know if you guys can hear him back there. He's saying how that he was saved for 10 years, but not really feeding himself with the Word of God, so he's kind of dead in that sense. So it is definitely, you know, what you put into it. So now somebody read verse 7 and 8, because I want to talk about this thing called the Book of Life.
I will.
All right.
And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into
perdition.
Perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is.
Yeah. And I want to talk about the beast a little more toward the end, but it says that there's names that are not written in the book of life, and it says from the foundation of the world. And I want you to see this. Got a good black magic marker. So if we think about kind of in time past, I mean, John's over here. If you can see that very good. He's talking about this book of life, and he says that there were some names that are not written in it from the foundation of the world. And look back at chapter 3. So hold your place here. Look at Revelation 3. I think it's verse 5. And I want to... Has any of you ever heard the song... I think it's called "There's a New Name Written Down in Glory, Glory, and It's Mine." Oh yes, it's mine. As if Jim's heard it. Hey Kaylee, we're going to squeeze you in up here in front of Brian or beside Brian. You guys got the girls today? Okay, and the boys. How big a car must you have? You gotta throw them in the back of the pickup or something. So, I'm glad you're here. So Revelation 3:5, and it's interesting, the phrase "Book of Life" is in the New Testament 8 times, and 7 times it's in the book of Revelation. So there's another 7 in the book of Revelation that it mentions the book of life. And this is the first one, Revelation 3:5. "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Now, I'm going to give you your second blank here. So the common view of the book of life is that when you get saved, you get your name in the book of life. And I really don't want to argue that. I want to present this alternate view today, though, because I think what I... You know, he says there that we just read that "I will not blot their name out of the book of life." Well, in order to blot somebody's name out of the book of life, it has to be there first, right? So let me present this. What if, you know, one of the famous verses we use in evangelism is that, you know, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we say that the Lord is not willing that any should perish. What if God wrote everybody's name down in the book of life to begin with? So that's a little... I want us to at least consider that today. The alternate view is, what if we get our name in there from our first birth on? Because think about this. I gave you an illustration there, and there's two charts at the bottom of your page. And let's say this first chart is you. Let's say your name is there from the foundation, and then you get born. Your mom and dad had you at a certain day. And let me give you this illustration of our own son. Someone's birth is an event. It's a day, it's a point in time. For us, it was December 13th, 1985. We had Luke. 84? 84. And it was in Centerville, Iowa. And we drove there. It was a cold day, and Angie had the window down the whole time because she was hot.
For the only time ever.
And so it was a little after noon, 12:58, on December 13th, 1984, Centerville, Iowa. So we were there, and he was born, and the doctors and nurses were there. And so that was an event, but it started a relationship that we have with our son. And so your second birth is like that. So nothing that, you know, I hope we always have a good relationship with our son, but regardless of what happens, he will always be our son, but because it's by birth. And spiritually speaking, that is true as well. There's a day, a time, someone shares the gospel. Pat here led Caleb to Christ, you know, a month or two ago, right, Caleb? That sound right?
I guess.
What day?
I've been going to church for a while, I guess. Right now, just the most consistent that I've done.
Okay. And so...
I guess it was last year that I started trying to start going to church, like, towards the end of the year.
Uh-huh.
I guess, yeah, through Pat, I was saved.
Yeah, all right. So in essence, Pat was kind of like the attending nurse or physician, and you know, it's God that does the saving, but he used Pat. And so it was an event, it was a point in time, and then you got baptized and now you're coming to church, and so you have a relationship with us as brothers and sisters, you have a relationship with God. And so let's say if you look at this chart here, even though we're born with a sin nature, the Bible says that before the law, that sin is not imputed to you. And Paul even says that he was alive once without the law, but when the law came, or it says something when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. So there was a point of accountability, we call it. I mean, you know, Kaylee and Brian have, you know, younger sons. What are their ages?
4 and 5.
They're 4 and 5, so we know they're sinful, but their sin's not imputed to them. But there's going to come a day and age where they kind of willfully sin, like, I know mom and dad said this, but by golly, I'm going to do that because I want to and I don't care. And so Paul says, when he heard thou shalt not covet, he says something happened in him and sin revived and I died. And so if you look, you notice I shaded in that name's still there, but it's blotted out. So there's handwriting and ordinances. You know, the law condemns us, right? The law is perfect, but we can't live up to the law, right? We have, that's what sin is. Sin is a transgression of God's law. But at some point, now like with Paul, he was on the road to Damascus and the light shined brighter than the noonday sun and they fell to the ground and he heard this voice, you know, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he calls him Lord, Lord, who art thou? And he's like, I'm Jesus, who you persecuted. And then he calls him Lord again, Lord, what wouldest thou have me to do? And so look at the bottom of your page there. In Colossians, it talks about blotting out the handwriting and ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And so I had you put the word blotted in your blank there. I don't know if that's the right way to spell that. So now the blood of Christ blots out those transgressions, and that name is not blotted out anymore. You still got a name, and so either after we die or the rapture takes place, we're going to be caught up together at the judgment seat of Christ. And we want to be rewarded with crowns for the works we've done. And our name is in the book of life. So everybody follows that. But now look at this second. This is for a lost person. Let's say their name is in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And they are born with a sin nature, but it's not imputed to them. But because of the law of God, they are written against them. If they reject the gospel and they're lost, they don't go up at the rapture. And then look at Revelation 20, I believe it is. And let's see, it's the second here. me get my glasses back on. And we'll get to this when we get there, but what does it say about the verse 12. Pat, would you read 12 for us?
And I saw the dead. Let me read 11 too. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, and whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works.
Yeah. Then verse 15.
And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Right. And so, this is following the second table that's on your handout. Their name is not there because it's the law has canceled it out. It's their sins have not been blotted out, and so they're still carrying their own works. And so, do you see the kind of the two differences there? One's the judgment seat of Christ. One's the great white throne that Pat read. And so there's kind of two different paths there. And anyway, I think that's kind of how the book of life works. But you know, I could be wrong. So anyway, that's kind of an alternative view, maybe not one that, but I think it's been there all the time. And some of us that have accept Christ, we get our sins blotted out and our name remains there. And otherwise, people are still having to pay for their own transgression. So at the top of your back of your page, we all have a rap sheet, but Christ's blood blots out sin and gives us a new record. So just like when you're born, you get a birth certificate. Some way there's a record made of, and this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. I gave you a teaching point there that some of the same things that are similar to Christians are similar to Israel in the Old Testament. I gave you some verses there about they blotted their transgressions are blotted out and they get redeemed. And I gave you a little more things about blotting out there. And some more things about the book of life is actually mentioned in the Old Testament a few times. And so I gave you those as well. Let's jump on down to we're going to try to get through verse 11 today in chapter 17. So if you want to go back to Revelation 17, and can somebody read 9, 10, and 11 for us?
Which hath wisdom, the seven heads are seven mountains, on which the woman sits.
11.
Okay. And there are seven keys, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. When he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition.
Yeah, now this is it sounds a little complicated, so hopefully we can. But the first thing I notice here is in verse 9, it says, here is wisdom, or here is the mind which hath wisdom. So I had you put the word wisdom in your blank. I think that's, is that all of them? I guess there's one more blank at the end. You know, it sounds a lot like in Revelation 13, talking about wisdom being the mark of the beast. But these, it says here in the last part of verse 9 that the seven heads are seven mountains. And most of us know that Rome is called the city on seven hills. And so we believe that to be representative of Rome. And there's seven world kingdoms. And I'm gonna put these on the board here real quick, because I think that's where we'll end at. And most of the, I think there's been other, you know, there's been, you know, Chinese dynasty, but these seven are really those that persecuted Israel in some way. We know Egypt, and, you know, Pharaoh, and there was Assyria. And Assyria is kind of Persia. And the Antichrist, at least once in the Bible, is called an Assyrian. So that's kind of interesting. We know Babylon with Nebuchadnezzar. And then we had the Medes and the Persians. And I always wondered, I wondered why they were grouped together, and that video that we watched a while back had the answer that Cyrus married the king of the Medes' daughter. So that's why it's kind of the Medo-Persian kingdom. And then we know the Greek kingdom under Alexander the Great. And then we had Rome. And then this second one we think is the revived Roman Empire, or revised. Those are what we believe to be these seven kingdoms. And it says five are fallen in verse 10. And so, if five are fallen, so Rome is who is in power when John is speaking. And, you know, whenever Daniel interprets Nebuchadnezzar's dream, he really speaks about, he speaks about the Persians and the Greek as being future, because, you know, Babylon was who was in power when he was in his ministry and writing the book of Daniel. And so John is under Rome influence here. And I want you to notice that what Kaylee read there, that these five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Now, I heard a little bit of history this week about how kind of the European Union was formed. I think it had 10 nations, maybe 6 at first. It was called something else first, but I think you'll think this is interesting. And I can't believe we didn't go there, but this is the European Union building, and it's in Strasbourg, France. And we were in Strasbourg, but I didn't go there. But they patterned it after the Tower of Babel. So that's pretty interesting, isn't it? I mean, that's the European Union building in Strasbourg, France. And the architects designed it to look unfinished, because you remember God confounded the language at the Tower of Babel and it was unfinished. So they actually patterned their building after that. And so that's pretty interesting. Um, So what I think here, and this is kind of at the bottom of your page, these seven kingdoms that are related to Israel in some way, they have, you know, their kings, and you notice under Rome, I put Caesar or Herod or Nero. There's another similarity. Do you know Babylon was actually not destroyed when it was conquered? Cyrus and his armies kind of came under the Watergate and kind of like the Trojan horse just overtook the city. They didn't destroy it. So some people think that the actual old city of Babylon is going to be rebuilt, and Saddam Hussein was trying to do that. I've got some pictures of that. But you know, Rome was like that too. Do you know Rome was really never conquered? It just kind of faded away, and some of the Europeans took part of it, and so that's kind of what John's communicating, is that these five were, and really this one is not, but it's part of the one yet to come. And so they that's where they think it's this revised Roman Empire. But now think about the Antichrist for a minute, because what Kaylee read at the end of verse, at the end of verse 11, it says, "Goeth into perdition." And do you know that Judas Iscariot was called the son of perdition? Perdition means damnation. So the son of perdition means like the child of hell, like the child of damnation. That Judas Iscariot. So whoever this Antichrist is, you remember I told you that, I forget which chapter, he was wounded with the deadly head wound. And so we believe literally a deadly head wound means he died. And somehow he has like a resurrection, like Christ was resurrected. And so in essence, what Kaylee read is this just like the kingdom, the Antichrist dies and go into perdition, and he comes out of perdition, and now he's got the devil in him, right? Because remember when Christ, when he betrayed Christ, it says that the devil entered into him. And so he was literally the devil incarnate. So this Antichrist not only means against Christ, but it means instead of or a counterfeit of. And so just like the nation of Rome didn't really get destroyed, it's coming back somehow in the form of these ten kingdoms. And the Antichrist, so even the beast and the Antichrist, and so my teaching point at the end here, the Antichrist will be the eighth, but of the seven, because he receives a deadly head wound, which means he is not, then he will be resurrected as Satan incarnate, which means he's yet to come. So I had you put the word Satan in your last blank. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's kind of the way I read this, and hopefully that's not too muddy to the water, because I mean, hopefully the Spirit is showing us things to come, and like Tracy said, we're not going to be here when this happens, but John is communicating things that are going to come. Any thoughts or questions? I will finish chapter 17 next week. I know I've been gone some, and I appreciate Jim filling in last week. He had the enemy's greatest hits. I thought that was really quite a label, and not all of it got recorded, so I couldn't watch all of it, but I'm sure it was good.
You can listen to the audio, probably.
Did you do the audio?
Yeah.
Okay, so I can pick it up. Okay. Any other thoughts? TJ, what do you got?
I was thinking that Revelation 1:4, it says that when he's describing Jesus, it's him which is and which was and which is to come, just like this.
I didn't think about that one. So TJ's noticing that Christ in chapter 1 verse 4 is Christ is described as him that was and is not and is to come. Wow, so the Antichrist, same thing here. What do you think, Jimmy?
Well, this is a different topic, but back when you were talking about the book of lies.
Okay.
An interesting thought, I usually cover this in YouTube a little bit, but God didn't just write our Bible. He also wrote several other books, like the book of Life, the book of Remembrance, and Psalms. And we trust that He's going to preserve those books, the book of Life. We're in it.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't we trust that He can preserve our Bible?
Because
then He's all about preserving His books.
Very good. I don't know if everybody heard that, but just on the tape, Jim's saying that just as the Lord has preserved the book of life and there's a book of works, there's a book of remembrance, why wouldn't He preserve the Bible, the book of books? That's what Bible means, book of books. There's 66 books, and that's a good thought. So He's preserved it, He's kept it, and we've got it here. We can hold it and read it and look at it and teach it and study it and memorize it. So, amen. Well, thank you for being here. Thanks for turning on the air condition. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Thank you, Angel and Dyson, Delson, for being here, and Christina. Lord, we do lift up our class members who are not able to be here. We pray for Rosie, her surgery this week. Pray that they'll be able to get any cancerous things and that she can have full recovery. And for Jimmy as he goes into golden years, help us not to forget him. And Lord, for I know Angel and Delson and Dawn are struggling, and we lift them up. And Christina's just thank you for bringing her our way today. And for each of us, Lord, we have struggles, we have needs. We thank you for this age of grace that we get what we don't deserve, and that's eternal life. So thank you that our names are written in the book of life. Help us to help others to get their transgressions and handwritings blotted out. And thank you for this study of end times. We pray the Holy Spirit will continue to teach us things to come. And just we love you and praise you. Bless the next service in Jesus' name. Amen.